What's up, y'all? My name is Ian Edwards. This is the Soccer Comic Rant. We're going to be talking about West Ham, the intercontinental middleweight WWE Europe football belt. They won something. So congrats to them and to Moyes. Now what you going to do, West Ham fans? Moyes out? How you feel? We're going to preview Inter versus Man City. Does Inter stand a chance? We're also going to talk about Messi going to Inter Miami and the Saudi Arabian League and whatever transfers are up so far. And my name is Ian Edwards. I think I said that. Thanks for listening, watching. Leave a review, like, and subscribe on YouTube. And let's go clockwise for me. We have Martin Harris, stand-up comic. He's recently in some episodes of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon. And we got Neil Chakrabarty, stand-up comic. By way of India, Chelsea fan. Martin, by the way, let me go back, is a Spurs fan. So he's not even in Europe this year. He might not even understand what we're talking about when we talk about Europe. And we have Lee Hudson, stand-up comic from England, Southampton fan, and he's going to be definitely giving us info on the championship this year. So we're going to expand. Like, he's so down for the podcast that he got his team relegated so we could talk about English football more. So that's the type of people we're working with here. What's up, y'all?
Hey.
It's funny that you mentioned, you know, about the championship, because in like one of the last episodes of Ted Lasso, they have a funny dialogue about where he doesn't understand the word championship. World championship is the second league. You're like, so what do you mean winning championship? And then you finish second, you don't win championship in the Premier League. Like, they have this whole comedic bit about that, like him as American not knowing that, and it's very, very funny.
Yeah, I got to watch Ted Lasso. But it also sounds like they're trying to slag off our leagues. I'm not down for that. That's like an American sneaky way of getting their little jokes in. But I got to see that first before I can go full anger. You know what I'm saying?
You know, the interesting, and they revealed it in a funny way right after the last episode ended. Of course, there were a lot of references to an actual football players. So the guy who was the character who was Zaba was Zlatan Ibrahimovic, was based on Zlatan. But the one of the main characters on the show
is that character retired in the show, like the real Zlatan.
Yeah. So they pretty much they made the characters on the show very similar to like real characters. Like Roy King was Roy Kent in the show. It was based on Roy King clearly. But then there was this guy, Jamie Taft, like very self-absorbed, kind of egotistical player, like likable at the same time, very likable, who goes through a certain transformation during the show. And they revealed by a photo of him and the guy together, the actor and the player that it's based on, that it was Jack Grealish. It was based on Jack Grealish.
And we'll check it out. But you know what's crazy? We got real football to talk about. West Ham won a goddamn title, Martin, and they did better than Chelsea did this year.
West Ham are the villains on the Ted Lasso show. They're run by this horrible owner.
I bet that's why you like Ted Lasso. Like, instead of Spurs being the villains, West Ham is.
Spurs are cool.
Spurs are cool. But I watched the match last night after the fact, and I like the way West Ham won this title. You know, it's like, It was kind of better than the Europa League final between Roma and Sevilla, you know, because at least one team like was clearly on the offensive and playing like a version of modern football, which was Fiorentina. And, you know, West Ham does what West Ham do when they play against better teams. They try to, like, you know, threaten the high line of the other team and try to get a fast break that way. So there was a lot of battles throughout the game that were kind of intriguing, and decent football was being played. But that last goal by Bowen was like, if you're ever a player dreaming of winning something in Europe, you're like, scoring a goal like that in the 90th minute, And Louis Pacquiao, one of the people you spent money on in the transfer window, like delivering that pass and like at the moment, like showing, doing something at a pinnacle moment for the team to win a title, and Bowen putting that away. And I think I would have given Bowen man of the match because he won the penalty in the penalty box. Like, he caressed the ball on his chest and that defender had to get to him and hands the ball. So he got them the penalty. And now he put away like a one-on-one, the entire Fiorentina defense breathing down his back and taking a shot, slotting it far post in the 90th minute. And that's you don't want this to go to overtime. You don't want this to go to penalties. You want this to be like, this is a legendary game for West Ham fans. And I'm happy for them, but I'm pissed at the ones who threw shit. And I wish they'd have went up in those stands during the game with the security footage and removed all the people who threw shit. Because you can't get on players and say they're not good role models, kids are watching them, and then you do this type of shit. Because there was people with their kids, like, in that section, and the kids are watching fans or maybe even parents throw stuff at players and think that shit is cool. So that was kind of out of order. So you got to be better. Those fans that did that, it wasn't all the fans. What was your guys' like kind of take on West Ham winning something?
I mean, it was a solid enough performance from them. They had a game plan. It was quite obvious that they were willing to let Fiorentina have possession. They were going to try and play on the counter. And, you know, they caused them problems. Fiorentina didn't really have enough cutting edge to properly hurt them. I think West Ham were quite happy with that game plan. There were some chances Fiorentina had at various stages, but they never really quite took them. West Ham were clinical when it mattered. And yeah, I mean, they played well. They played to their plan. Like you said, the fans let them down a little bit, but, you know, also at the same time, I think they kind of drove them on. You saw that when they scored the winner, the noise they made. So it's like, if West Ham fans could just channel that passion a little bit better, it might be more helpful. But yeah, I mean, credit to Moyes. He's, you know, he's had a tough time in the league. So it's, yeah, he's had this, like you say, that they can't really fire him now. And Declan Rice gets to leave with a nice parting gift to give to the fans, a trophy. Because he's like, I mean, even the West Ham board have said he's not going to be there next season. So they're just going to see who they can take for the highest price. It sounds like Arsenal are going to probably be the ones, 90 million to 100 million, somewhere in that region, which for a 24-year-old is, yeah. I mean, that trophy probably put a few extra million on top of that price. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how West Ham cope next season with him gone, because I think he's such a key player for them. He holds that midfield together. So they're going to have to replace him, but that money should let them replace him and get some more reinforcements in other areas as well, if they spend it wisely. So yeah, just like I say, solid job from them. Played to the game plan. Fiorentina weren't clinical enough. Yeah, credit to West Ham.
Yeah, you said something that made me want to ask a question. Is in a year where so many coaches been fired, like some teams got three coaches for the year. And I'm not saying that because Neil and Martin are on Zoom. But this is a weird year in where two London teams, West Ham and Spurs, are about to lose their two main players, right? And the Spurs fans are being pretty reasonable about losing Harry Kane. And from what I've heard when I've listened to like interviews and like sports talk, the fans that call in, and also it's weird too with West Ham, like they're pretty rational about them losing their best, pretty much one of their best players, Declan Rice. Like Neil or Mark, do you ever like remember a time when not just one player, like their fate, the fans accepted, but two like main people from two London clubs, which is like could really throw both teams in jeopardy if they don't have those players next year.
I think when we lost Hazard, pretty much Chelsea fans were, you know, kind of knew that it was going to happen because it threatened to happen the year before when it was just after the World Cup. And last day of the game, last game of the season before that FA Cup final, Hazard, you know, we won the final, but he didn't really commit to anything. Rudiger actually publicly asked him to commit to signing, like in an interview, and he pretty much said, you know, let's focus on the World Cup and then we'll see. So it didn't happen that season. He had a great season. So by the time the next summer came, I think all fans were pretty much like, yeah, I think, you know, he's always wanted to go play for Madrid. And
he's always wanted to go put his foot up.
Yeah, we didn't know that. If Hazard knew that's how it's going to be, he would never have tried to leave. But it's a very similar. I think both Kane and Rice, there's a feeling among the clubs itself, like, you know, the story has kind of run its course, and there's not a lot more they can achieve at those clubs. So, you know, best is to get some money before you have to let him go for free.
Martin, you're a Spurs fan. You ready to let him go? I think it's time. What's your conditions?
Well, here's the thing. You know, if it's the truth that Real Madrid will pay a lot of money and take him to replace Benzema, I'm okay with that, especially that I like Real Madrid. I don't think that he needs to be sold to one of the Premier League teams, especially that I don't think there's a need for it, you know, in terms of, City will not buy him, then who? We're not going to sell him to Arsenal, right? Why would we sell him to Chelsea or United? There's no point in that. So,
they're not your rivals. It's not like you're going to sell him to Brentford or Villa, the teams that
it's not financially necessary, you know. But Real Madrid, yeah, if Real Madrid comes, makes a lot of sense to me, you know. If Real Madrid comes, it makes a lot of sense. I think he's a perfect guy for them. I think unless they want to just wait 1 year for Mbappe and go with somewhere cheaper, like Roberto Firmino, for example. But I don't think they'll just throw away one season. And plus, Mbappe and Kane can play together. They can link up and they can play together because they're a little bit different. They're not the same type of player. Mbappe can probably, interchange with Kane and go to the wing, you know. Kane can go a little bit deeper.
Mbappe does not want to come inside. He stated that, like, publicly. He wants to play on the left.
Yeah, even better, you see? So even better, you know, if he plays on the left, then you can have Vini or Rodrigo on the right and Kane in...
But you can't just throw Vini on the left, on the right either. Like, him and Mbappe are like almost... I don't see how Mbappe fits in with Real Madrid if they have Vini. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm Vini, I'm like, hey, I'm your left guy. Unless he doesn't mind.
Well, but Kane is perfect for them. So if that goes I wouldn't be surprised. If he goes, let's say, to Chelsea, I'll be shocked. Why would he downgrade five positions down in the table? But if he goes to Real Madrid, I'm 100% in, especially that I like Real Madrid, and I think he'll be a great success at Real Madrid.
Here's a thing that Neil said on a podcast that makes sense. And this is when it was just a possibility of Chelsea getting Pochettino. It was Pochettino to Chelsea. Pochettino gets Lukaku, exchanges him in a prisoner exchange via Brittany Griner, walks, they walk each other to the border of whatever part of London y'all, the intersection is. Spurs hands over Harry Kane to Chelsea. Chelsea hands over Lukaku to Chelsea, to Spurs, and deal done. Do you like Lukaku? But it's better than just losing. Like, if you have no scorer, you're in a relegation battle.
No.
Or close next season.
No, we have players.
They've got Richarlison.
Some can play in the some played as a center forward before, and he played well.
How did Son play this year? I think he
didn't play as a center forward, and I think he's losing his pace a little bit. So he might switch to this position because he's going to be in his early 30s now. I think it's going to be a good change for him. But I still hope Kane will stay. I hope the new manager will be able to convince him that there is a chance that he can be the Pochettino 2.0 and surprise people. There was a very bad season, but that's one very bad season after a decent season. So, you know, we played the Champions League. We went to last 16 in the Champions League. That's not bad. One of the best 16 teams in Europe. I think it's pretty good. And it just this season didn't work out. And it also didn't work out for some other teams like Liverpool and Chelsea. So, I mean, listen, you know, didn't work out for...
You're naming teams that have won
Real Madrid,
shit.
Either.
You're naming teams that have won shit. Let me ask, so how do you feel about this new coach?
I feel like it's a risky move, but so far he proved that he deserves a shot at a better club. And maybe, well, listen, you know, he definitely needs to prove a lot. But I think it's good to get a hungry coach who already had success and has some sort of charisma and got his teams to play good football. It's better to go with someone like that, let's say, with Mourinho on his last legs, you know? So, with the guy like Spirito Santo, who was kind of good, but not really, you know, like he didn't really win anything. So this guy seems like someone who likes to win, and that's good. If he does...
How dare you? Spirito just won the Saudi Arabian League. Are you kidding me?
Who?
Spirito just won the Saudi Arabian League. How dare you win it?
Who's he going to coach? Benzema?
and he just added a forward. Yeah.
He beat Ronaldo. They're signing Kante as well.
Okay. Oh, good.
The same club.
Yeah, he's going to come back to the Premier League with a vengeance at some point. So just watch out. And you know who he's gunning for. Neil, like you were kind of in a situation like this when Chelsea had to play Man City in the Champions League final. You guys were the underdogs. No one ever thought you could pull this off. I definitely didn't think you could pull it off. You pulled it off. Do you think that Inter could pull a Chelsea on Man City?
I mean, if you thought Chelsea that season, and yeah, we were underdogs going into that final. But Inter's even more of an underdog going into this one, because at least we had some recent form. Like the second half of the season was fairly strong. We had already beaten City twice in the last few months before that. We had beaten almost every top six team that we faced in the Premier League. We had beaten Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid in the Champions League rounds before. So Inter's kind of had a very, backdoorish entry to the final, with due respect. So, yeah, I think their best bet would be to keep it really attritional, try and stop City into getting into these goal-scoring chances. Because, you know, this is not a two-legged game, right? It's just 90 minutes. It's still football. Anything can happen. They can keep it tight and get a goal. And they do have in Lautaro Martinez and Romelu Lukaku, two of the best strikers in the world. So they don't need a whole bunch of chances. If you can give them a few chances, they can make it count. So, it's fascinating in terms of the contrast in styles and the way these two teams are right now. Like, Inter's not had a good season domestically, right? Like, it's not one of the teams that you'd consider to be a team that's on par with the best teams in Europe. And that's seen in the way that they haven't reached the Champions League semifinals in a very long time. But they have now, and they've had some good performances leading up to it. So it'll be interesting to see the contrast in styles, I feel. What Pep does he stick to what's been working for him? like this whole, you know, the four center backs, pretty much the four center backs, and De Bruyne, Gundogan. Does he stick to that formula? Does he change things up again? Yeah, but I just feel like Man City this time, they have all of that, and then they have the cheat code in De Bruyne, Haaland. So yeah, it's going to be tough to see Inter win.
So you're saying Inter was not on your level, basically, when you won. That's what it sounds like.
Low-key
trash talk.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a lot of difference in terms of personnel, but I just feel we had a better form, better confidence going into that game.
Yeah, Lee, I'm about to ask you a question. So, and hopefully whatever you wanted to say fits under the umbrella of this question. Do you have any belief that Simeone and Inzaghi could beat Pep Guardiola?
I mean, there's always a chance. It's football. That's why we watch this game, because, you know, there's a lot of things that have a strong chance of happening, but they're never 100% to happen. And so, you know, they've always got a chance. And Inter have done it before with Mourinho. You know, they weren't the favourites against Bayern.
They had a really good team, though. That team was overdue. Like, that Inter team... Yeah.
There was a lot of players in that Inter team that didn't really do anything anywhere else, though, the rest of their careers. That never won to that level. Like, Milito never really did it anywhere else. Like, Stankovic never really did it anywhere else. Even Materazzi never really did it anywhere else. Or maybe for Italy, but, like, they had players who... He moulded a team of players who were, like, a good Italian team. They were, like, a third, fourth place Italian team, but he won, you know...
I used to monitor that team and wonder how come they haven't won it yet. That's how amazing I thought that Inter... when Mourinho got there... I used to really rate that team, bro.
Yeah.
Eto'o was on that team, too.
Balotelli was on the team.
Yeah. They did their thing. It was... Yeah, like I said, there was just a lot of players there who were good players but hadn't really elevated themselves to that level, and he came in and gave them that mentality to do it. But I can't see past City for this game. You know, you're speaking about, I think Neil mentioned Haaland and De Bruyne, their form and how unstoppable they've been as well. I think one of the big ones is this is probably going to be the final game at City for Bernardo Silva. He said he's looking for a new challenge after this game. So it'll probably be his last game. And I think he's been phenomenal this season for them. Obviously, he doesn't get as much attention because of, you know, the likes of Haaland, the likes of De Bruyne, even the likes of Grealish has been more effective this season. So people haven't spoke about Bernardo Silva as much. But he, I think in the Champions League, may have been their best player this season so far.
I love Bernardo Silva.
Yeah, the Champions League only, like, he presses... He's so intelligent on the ball. He's been popping up with more goals than ever this season, it feels like, as well. Big goals as well in those big games. I think he's going to be a big factor. I can't see anything other than the City win. But like I say, it's football. That's why we love it. Inter could come, and I think they're going to have to really, to use a term that we use in the UK, they're going to have to shithouse their way to a win. They're going to have to do all the horrible things. They're going to have to channel the spirit of Mourinho, like he did for Roma in the second leg against Leverkusen. They're just going to have to stop everything from happening, just fouls, time wasting from the get-go.
Yeah, I feel like they have... Hold on one second, Martin. They have, you know, they're an Italian team, so they can... they have no problem sitting back. Mm. But not only are they an Italian team, they have three cutting-edge assets that they can interchange up front. Lautaro Martinez, Lukaku, or Dzeko, who actually used to play for City and has won shit before. It's just, it feels like this unanimous win, but this game is going to be interesting because something could happen. And that, like you said, that's why we watch. And Dzeko did play for Man City, right? Like back in the day, like when they first started, like, getting money.
For 2-2. when then so, I score for 3-2, yeah, against Queen's Park.
Yeah, so it's going to be super, super intriguing. Martin, I'm going to switch to Messi to Inter Milan. What are your feels and thoughts? You know, we go to MLS games. Now this guy, Inter Miami, my bad. So Messi is coming to Inter Miami. How is that going to change football in America, besides the fact that we're going to be going to more MLS games?
Yeah, a lot of thoughts. I just want to touch on the Champions League final very quickly. Guardiola, you ask about Inzaghi, if Inzaghi can beat Guardiola. Ted Lasso beat Guardiola. Guardiola made an appearance of Ted Lasso. So Inzaghi can beat him. But I think it's kind of ironic that this is not my favorite City team in terms of like how strong they are as a team. I think they had a better team actually last year. And 3 or 4 years ago, I think they had a better team. And that's the chance. That's
without Haaland?
Still, when they had like Aguero and Sterling, all those guys, I think they were better. I do. I think they had a stronger team.
Fabinho,
Company, I think they were better in this one season, especially when they had like over 100 points in the league. So it's kind of ironic that now they have the best shot to win the Champions League, which is what Guardiola wants. I think if that happens, I think Guardiola will leave. Will go to some other new challenge.
Inter Miami.
Hmm?
Inter Miami.
Inter Miami. Yeah, sure. No, I think there will be more challenges for Guardiola. Maybe he'll just wait for a national team job. Maybe that's next for him. But I feel like that might happen when he wins the Champions League. And I still think they're the favorites. Going to Inter Miami, this is my conspiracy theory with Inter Miami. Well, first of all, it's very classless from Barca to make those comments about Messi that he bailed on Barca. It's not Messi's fault. It's Barca's fault that he left in the first place because they weren't able to push through.
Did they say that? Or they said, I guess he wants to go somewhere where he can take it easy and get out the spot.
Yeah, which is offensive to one of the best of all time. In my opinion, not the best. Some people think the best. In my opinion, Maradona was the best, but still Messi is one of the best, even for me. So one of the five probably best players of all time. So that's very offensive, and especially Barca always.
I would say one of the two. Like, what of the five people is included in this?
Pele, Maradona, Cruyff, Messi, someone else.
I would compare him. In my opinion, I just compare him to Messi. I don't put Maradona. In this, Maradona's like third.
Okay.
He just didn't do it. You know how Ronaldinho didn't do it long enough?
Probably top 30, Ronaldinho. I would say I'll put Ronaldo ahead of Ronaldinho, the old Ronaldo. Won the World Cup as the best player for his team. Won two World Cups technically, so yeah, definitely. Three World Cup finals. Here's the thing about Messi. He mentions a lot that he wants to play in the next World
Cup. If you're gonna count World Cup finals, Pele won 3.
Yeah.
So I'm confused.
Yeah, Pele
Maradona, who only won one, was in your top.
And a lot of players from that time, they are very convinced that Pele was the greatest player of all time. And this documentary that they refreshed some of the footage from what he was doing on the field, it kind of makes a good point for that case that he might be the best player of all time. Because, you know, we haven't seen him live, obviously, that changes the perspective. But I know some older writers who covered Pele when he was here in America in the 70s that he was a fantastic, phenomenal player. And they think he was even better than Maradona and Messi. So who knows? Maybe he was. But that's not the point. My point is that this is my conspiracy theory with Messi, why he accepted that particular job and he had some other offers. I think he wants to play the next World Cup and then he wants to retire after the next World Cup. The next World Cup is in the United States. So he wants to play in the United States. He wants to be here with his family and he wants to give it another last final shot with Argentina to win the World Cup in 2026. It's only 3 years It's only 3 years from now. So he can play three seasons, two and a half seasons for Inter Miami, and then he can play the World Cup, and then he can possibly retire.
But I think Messi can play the World Cup regardless of where he's playing. I don't know how playing in US necessarily helps him in doing that. Like, the Argentinian manager is not going to say no to Messi.
Well, I know, but that will make him kind of, you know, assimilated in the country, which is, he talks a lot about his family, that he was very unhappy in Paris because of the family matter, that his family was unhappy in Paris. And I think if he's in Miami and he just plays and his family lives in a nice house and they're happy, everybody's happy, he's playing, he's not overstretching like himself, you know, in some of those games, and he accumulates like his final energy for this last final round with Argentina at home.
I think your theory stinks because Messi can play anywhere, but this is what I do want to know from you. Like, you know, I think more about the MLS than most of us here. Like, what was Inter Miami's record this year? Do you know?
Oh, terrible. They fired Phil Neville, by the way. Good, you know, good job. You got him fired finally, Lee, from Inter Miami job.
He got himself fired.
You're projecting that energy for a long time.
So what is Inter? Messi ain't coming here to lose. So what does Inter Miami have to do to, like, make this worth, like, his while? Like, getting as far as players, as far as, like, getting a coach. Like, they have to, like, Beckham did his job of talking Messi into this.
But well, I'm sure Gonzalo Higuain, who knows Messi very, very well from Argentina, and they played together in World Cup final and a bunch of other huge tournaments, haven't won together, but they played in the finals of major competitions, and he's still there, so they'll be there together. Maybe they'll bring someone to join them, one of the senior players of Argentina, I don't know. Definitely a lot of players will be enticed to go under salary cap and play with Messi for at least 1 year or 2 years to accept less money but have a chance to play with Messi. I'm sure they won't have a problem. I'm sure a lot of agents are calling right now and offering services of, you know, suitable players. They might have a shot of winning the league. I feel like when that happens, they will. They need to definitely hire a good coach. I'm sure Messi will be involved in the process of hiring a new coach. And I'm sure the timing of firing Phil Neville has a lot to do with bringing Messi.
I think Messi said, I'll come there, but you got to get rid of that Phil Neville.
Because
that would have been insulting.
Yeah, what if Phil Neville is telling Messi what to do on the field? What do you think? How would that go?
That means Inter Miami is about to get one of the best available coaches in the world. They might have to, like, buy a coach in an existing prominent. But what's Luis Enrique doing?
Here you go.
He won't go there. I don't think they'll get anyone who is anywhere near the top of their game. They'll probably get Tata Martino or someone.
They'll get the managerial equivalent of a 34.
What if Carlo Ancelotti decides it's like, I'm old, I want to go to Miami.
I'm sorry, Neil, what did you say?
I'm saying they'll get the managerial equivalent of a 34-year-old footballer, right? Like, whoever is just past the hill or, you know, doesn't fancy. I don't know, is Van Gaal still alive?
Come on. But Zidane, maybe. I don't know.
No, I don't think anybody who has a future in the game will go there.
Not a bad league anymore. It's not a bad league.
Maybe somebody young like Neil is saying, but who plays or coaches progressive football that Messi? So I like this person.
Yeah, it has to be someone who's either past their peak, well past their peak, or someone on the rise. Like, you know, like the Spurs guy whose name I can't pronounce. You know, he was in.
What's his
name? Postecoglou? Is that right?
Postecoglou.
Okay. Can't just say it right. It's an easy name, bro.
I think I get a pass.
That's funny. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Hasenhüttl be good.
Yeah.
So Postecoglou, he was in... to get fired for me to be able to pronounce his name.
Yeah, so he was in Australia. He was in Japan, right? So he obviously, it could be somebody of that ilk who's young, who has a trajectory that's going to take him to the top, but he's not there yet. Someone like that, maybe someone from South America, you know. Oh, yeah. So maybe somebody like that. But I mean, the Messi, I don't think it's a big, thing to analyze why Messi went to Miami. Like, he got the best deal you can get. Like, it's not just the salary that's on demand, that's on offer. He's been offered a share of Apple's revenue that's going to come from the MLS season pass. He's getting a share of the Adidas profits from his arrival. And he's been given an option to, similar to how they did it with the Beckham. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. So he's got an option to either get, I think, a new MLS, the expansion team, or a share in Inter Miami itself.
This is funny because they're going to make a movie about this. I just watch Air.
Yeah.
I just watch Air and how, you know, like, Nike is this big entity now in basketball, but how it was the smallest entity back then and what they had to do to revolutionize this deal to land Michael Jordan, who was going to go to Adidas, who Adidas was ahead of. And then all these things you just mentioned is like, it's from back then. Like, they, like, all right, Messi, we don't have oil money to get you to Saudi Arabia, but this is what we got. Adidas would chip in. Apple would chip in because Apple just bought the rights to the MLS, right? So it's going to be shown on Apple and you could see all the games and just the same way what you do with and MSNBC sort of here, especially if you have Peacock. So MLS is going to be available instead of like you have to take whatever game they show. So, and then also what they did with Beckham, it's like, how do you make a deal with the biggest name in football? So, right, you have to pick something. It doesn't have to be a conspiracy. It's just this is a great deal when you stack it up against the other deals. And I'm in America, I'm close to South America. There's so many South Americans in Miami. And then all the I was watching one guy on ESPN. I forgot his name, I want to give him credit, but he said, this is a big thing for like the CONCACAF Champions League, because all those Mexican teams that have to go play, like, every team is going to take that, even that's going to be ramped up because everybody is going to want to, first of all, the league is going to want Inter Miami to thrive so that they could get in there. So the season is still going on right now. They just fired Phil Neville, right? They got to get a good coach now. Have they got names on the plate? Because Messi's coming next month and you want them to like finish the season strong, to have a chance to like get into the playoffs, to qualify for the Champions League. I don't know the CONCACAF, MLS as well, to know how many teams qualify for Champions League. But there's a lot of work for Inter Miami to do to make this shit worth it this season.
Yeah, I mean, they can, if they get some runs of wins together, they can scrape the like a sort of play-in game. I think as long as they finish top nine, they could get in or something. But
East or top nine, period.
Yeah, in their conference, I think they can get into a play-in game. But I mean, who knows whether or not that is. There's some interesting things though that, you know, involved in this that I've seen a couple of journalists mention, and one of them was that, you know, whatever reasons he's made for this decision, like he's going to be playing in an 18,000 seater temporary stadium in Fort Lauderdale. That's pretty demeaning for someone like Messi to be going to a tiny shitty stadium. Like, yeah, he'll get to play in some like nice big full stadiums on the road. But he'll be playing in an 18,000 seater stadium in Fort Lauderdale. That's not even the club's. That's pretty sad. But
can I just counter that? If he came to the Premier League, which nobody would have had a problem with, he'd have to play at Luton.
Yeah, but not every week. Like, that wouldn't be his home stadium. He ain't signing for Luton. City or someone, but
his home stadium is 20,000?
18. Not even 20. I quite enjoyed.
He'll also be playing in Haiti in the CONCACAF Champions League away in the 1800 seaters. So.
Listen, Sean Penn went to
Haiti.
Celebrities. So.
But say I really enjoyed Barca's salty statement.
Yep.
As well, the club statement they put out afterwards, because obviously they were in negotiations with his dad to try to get him there, and there's the one sort of sentence here which I liked, which was President Laporta understood and respected Messi's decision to want to compete in a league with fewer demands, further away from the spotlight and the pressure he has been subject to in recent years. So that's basically just the Barcelona president throwing a whole load of shade at the MLS. I mean, the MLS, it's way better than people give it credit for. It's a fast league. It's a physical league. And it's a technical league now as well, because the levels have just risen over the last few years. But I think it's sad that he's just gone to such a poor team with a poor setup, to be honest.
But I get it though.
Him and his family, they own property in Miami. He spends off seasons there as well. So it's a lifestyle move more than anything.
But also,
here's the thing,
naturally, you got one. Oh, sorry, Martin, you're next. You also got to think, this is Maradona and Napoli. Yeah, like how they were looked at, the city was looked at, the type of how the rest of Italy looked at Napoli, and then Maradona going there, and then the president pulling everything together to make that team like worth having Maradona. And there's going to be moves to make this, like the Inter Miami, unless they fail, should like finish near the top of the table or improve dramatically. Since that Messi's going to be there, but we'll see. What do you say, Martin?
Here's the point I want to make. You know, like to a little bit change the perspective. You know, what you said, Lee, it's right. But this is the only league probably in the world that's a good league. It's a top 10 league in the world that has a potential for every team to drastically improve pretty much on a year-to-year basis. Every year, 12 to 15 teams can win the title. You know, you don't know who's the favorite who's going to win the title. It's because of the rules of that three designated players and salary cap and all those restrictions. And you cannot really transfer players without the league approval, you know. So therefore, pretty much every team has a chance to compete. St. Louis, that is a team that plays for the first time in the MLS this year. They, I think, won first seven games or six games, and they were at the top of the table for a little bit. So, you know, this is the league. This is the one decent league in the world where I would say it doesn't matter really where you go, because you can turn it around in very quick time. Where in the Premier League, it does matter if Messi, let's say, signed with Brentford or signed with the City, right? It has a huge difference. In MLS, it's not. You can they can build a great team for next year and they can win the title. Easy.
It does matter that he doesn't want to go to Kansas City for sure.
Yeah, but he could have won with Kansas City. Listen, Beckham is the best example. He went to LA Galaxy. First year, they were the worst team in the league. Second year, they were again one of the worst teams in the league. And then in the third year, they won the title. No, sorry, the fourth year, they won the title.
What if the only thing Inter Miami needed to improve was not even get Messi, but get rid of Phil Neville? And they just would win the league without Messi, but now with him, just because.
Yeah, I mean, they're already a better team just for not having him there. That's 100% true. The guy is an absolute myth as a coach. I hope he quits now. I hope he quits, because he's just bad. He's a failure everywhere he's been. You know, he got this job because of a friend, and his friend had to fire him. That's sad. Like, just stop it. Do something else. Like, find another avenue. Be an agent or be a pundit. Or don't be a pundit, because he's horrible when he talks. He's boring. So, yeah, just Phil Neville, like, I don't know, walk into the sea or something. I don't know.
Or just, like, enjoy I'm sure he has a clubhouse pass at the stadium, right? And it's those tickets are coming at a premium right now. So just enjoy that.
They probably took away a security clearance.
Yeah, I was hearing on ESPN FC, apparently the tickets were like $50-$60, and now they're up to $500-$600, like 10x increase just after this announcement.
Yeah, I wish I had Inter Miami stock, because man, I'd get a huge bump up. But if this also, is a great...
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was saying, like, we always knew, right, the moment the Miami franchise was announced a few years earlier, that this is going to be the competition to LA in terms of a place to, you know, a recruiting tool, right? Like, there's no better place in America to recruit for other than LA and Miami. Hopefully San Diego in 2025, but
yeah.
You know, you want to attract international players, you want to give them the best weather. So, yeah.
Also, yeah, Miami is a very international city.
Yeah.
And you're right. And it's like, player, meet my recruiting agent, South Beach.
Well, how about this
player around?
How about this? Recruiting agent, play with Leo Messi.
That's going to be a factor.
You know? Yeah. Play with Leo Messi in Inter Miami. You can actually have a chance. You know, like, it's not at Barcelona and PSG, he only had world-class players. It was, you know, they had so much money, they could buy the whole squad of world-class players. Now, because of the restrictions, it can't be only world-class players. So there'll be a lot of room for good players that will have once-of-a-lifetime opportunity to play with Messi on the same team, you know? Players who are maybe, are like, you know what, instead of making 600,000 or a million on a mid-level team in France or even like in the championship, I will go to play for 350 and play with Messi in Inter Miami. I will play for 300,000 a year instead of like 1.5 for this 1 or 2 years because I'll play with Messi.
Do you think it adds legitimacy to the MLS to get Messi? Because we've been in this place before. Like, they got, the MLS got Beckham, it got Ibrahimovic, it got Gerard, Lampard. And it still didn't like change, I feel like, the overall view of the MLS. It was like, yeah, you got them. You got them at the end of their careers. That's the type of league you are. Saudi is the other version of that. And there's like China did it. And then there's other leagues that are not the main. If you're not in Europe in the top five, like, it's just the way you're seen. So do you think this is the final piece or not?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I mean, you touched on it there. I mean, I remember I was at, this was back in 2016, I think it was. I was at Yankee Stadium to watch New York City FC play New York Red Bulls. And New York City FC had Villa, Pirlo, Lampard. Shit. And they got beat down 7-0 by Red Bulls.
And Angelina was there too.
And Bradley Wright Phillips scored a bag of goals. And young Jack Harrison was playing for Red Bulls that day. But, you know, they had Pirlo, Villa, Lampard. They're like, you know, three of the best players to play in Europe ever.
That was the midfield. Pirlo, Villa.
Lampard came off the bench. Pirlo and Villa both started.
Oh, Villa. Patrick Vieira, yeah.
And Vieira was the manager that day.
Yeah, man.
I mean, just look at the teams now, because let's have a look here.
And Harrison
Wright Phillips scored.
Played on NYFC. He played for NYFC too.
Martin, just wait till he
finishes. Oh, NYCFC. Sorry, Harrison was on that team. Sorry, the wrong way around. But yeah, I mean, they had those guys that day, and they lost 7-0. It was it was insane. Sean Wright Phillips was on the bench. They're both Wright Phillipses playing at that at that Red Bulls team. And yeah, Harrison, sorry, was in the team with the superstars. But I mean, yeah, I mean, like I said, that's what it means. It means nothing. Like, if these guys aren't motivated and capable still, because the MLS isn't a league where you can come and walk it. I mean, Messi's stats, so this season, I think for PSG, got 16 goals, 16 assists, which, you know, decent numbers. Obviously, he's had good players around him as well. And it helps when you're laying on those chances for Mbappe, because he's going to finish them. So you can rack up the assists. But yeah, I think obviously he'll raise the level of the players around him. Whether or not that's enough to actually get into Miami deep into the playoffs and to have a chance of winning the MLS championship, I don't know. it depends who they buy around him, because clearly, obviously, the current squad is substandard given their position and their performance this season.
Yeah, like I said, it's probably based on the coach not being good enough. So just getting rid of him is like a bump up, and now you add Messi to it. So, yeah, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's going to take – this league almost has to stop doing this. You know what I mean? And what they need to do is, like, have a homegrown player that they can actually hang on to and keep that kind of grows the league. But it's almost impossible.
But I feel like the league has got the profile that it can get. I don't know how it gets any better. Like, it's never going to overtake the top five European leagues. I think this is as good as it gets. And what Messi might do is get more of the non-football, non-soccer crowd in America to come watch the games. But if you look at the crowds in almost, at least most of those teams, they're pretty well supported. So it's not like you see a whole lot of empty stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I guess this is as good as it gets, and it's going to be this way. We are getting a pretty good version of Messi. He's just won the World Cup. He's still doing it at a top European club. So that's nice. It's not like getting him when he's, 40, 41. But Messi on the right, Willian on the left, I'm calling it right now.
I'm wondering if Inter Miami, if it's worth them maybe trying to lure one of the American guys at Leeds back, because Leeds are a mess right now. They've been relegated, and they've got McKinney, Tyler Adams and Aronson, who are all good players.
McKinney was alone.
Oh, has he gone back to Juve?
Yeah, he's back to Juve, yeah.
Well, I don't think he particularly wants to stay there. Maybe they could say to one of these guys, come back home, play with Messi.
DeAndre Yedlin is on the team, I think.
He's not been very good for a long time. That's why he ended up back there.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. It's interesting, but I guess Martin, me and you going to see Inter Miami play LAFC in July. We got to hit up
September.
Yeah. So let's hit them up about that.
Well, yeah. Messi. That would be great.
Yeah, it would be good to see Messi. Yeah, I'd like to. I've seen Barcelona play live, but not with Messi. I've managed to see Messi
at all his teams that he's played for. I've seen him play for Argentina. I've seen him play for Barca. I've seen him play for PSG.
Where did you see him play for Argentina?
In London at the Emirates. They came and played Brazil in a friendly at the Emirates.
Oh, shit.
They played it there so that all of the European-based players didn't have to travel back to South America for a friendly.
Right.
So they played it there. And Messi, he was young back then. This is how long ago it was. Kaká scored a great goal for Brazil. He ran from like his own half and scored for Brazil. So yeah, it was a pretty interesting experience, because there's really big Argentinian and Brazilian populations in London as well, and they came out for it. So yeah, it was fun. It was a fun stadium that day. A lot more fun than when it's full of Arsenal fans.
That's pretty dope.
With Barcelona here, on multiple occasions when Barcelona came here to play. In LA, I've seen him on our Argentina team during the Copa Centenario 2016 when he played in America and they went to the finals. I haven't seen him with PSG though. So you won ahead of me. Hopefully come to see here to watch the game with us when they went to Miami.
Who knows? If it's September, maybe. My birthday's September. That'd be a nice trip.
All right.
But just looking back at that game, Brazil won 3-0, and Kaká scored the wonder goal, and the other two goals were scored by Elano, if you remember him, Man City player.
Oh, wow.
Shit.
I haven't heard that name.
That's how long ago it was. But the Argentina team was stronger. They had Messi, they had Milito, they had Tevez, they had Aguero, they had Riquelme, Mascherano. It was a strong team, but Brazil did their thing that day.
Yeah, until this World Cup, Argentina, I feel like they struggled internationally for a minute. with a lot of quality, like offensive players for like a decade, including with Messi. It's just weird that it took him this long for when all those players that you thought would have helped him got old and aged out, and that only Di Maria was left, and Aguero's gone, and Higuain's gone. And I don't even think Dybala was on this team. And like all the other names that helped him win this World Cup were newer names, you know, like McAllister, who's and Enzo, and you know, it's just weird. And an old name like Otamendi, who you'd never, you know what I mean? And a newer name like Martinez, like it's not the people you would suspect would get him across the line, ultimately. But yeah.
Go ahead. Do you guys want to know who the odds are for the new manager of Inter Miami?
Yeah.
There's some interesting names. So Rafa Benitez, the odds are fairly short. So Rafa's in the mix. Brendan Rodgers. Brendan Rodgers managing Messi could be interesting.
Yeah, I like that.
Steve Cherundolo, who is the LAFC manager. Might try and poach his ass.
Just won the title.
Steven Gerrard obviously played in the MLS. Whether or not Messi wants to play for Steven Gerrard, I don't know. Here's an interesting one, though. Bielsa. He likes weird projects. Obviously, he's Argentinian. He's an Argentinian legend. He plays a style of football that Messi likes. So that could be an interesting one, Bielsa in the MLS. But yeah, they're the names we mentioned. Obviously, Martino, Tata Martino as well.
I'll give you another name that could be interesting. Bruce Arena.
Is he alive still?
Yeah, he coached an American national team a few years back. And he coached Beckham. So
yeah, he's the best American coach ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about him earlier.
Robbie Keane is short odds as well. He obviously played for LA Galaxy, and he was part of Big Sam's staff, I think, at Leeds for three games or whatever it was.
Well, listen, if Ted Lasso was real, he would be the perfect candidate for sure.
you gotta let Ted Lasso go, bro. Do you guys think of anything we should talk about before we bounce? I can't think of anything. I think we covered it all.
Well, the charges against Anthony and Menu are a new topic, I think.
What charges?
Well, he's been accused, right? What's the situation? You know better, right?
No, I only know what you posted.
You posted it, Martin.
Yeah, there are some accusations.
And then I read it, but then I read who wrote it. I'd never heard of this publication. Like, and then I didn't hear about this story anywhere else. So I was like, I don't want to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the case is in Brazil. So it's going to be interesting if it actually...
Right now, it's on every single media in England. It's on goal.com. It's on Metro.co.uk. Accused of domestic violence, but 22-year-old woman in Brazil. Yeah.
I've not seen it in any of the main publications. Like Goal and Metro aren't the, big ones. I've not seen it really anywhere else yet. So be interesting to see what happens to that.
I don't know how.
I mean, we sort of touched on it. We talked about Benzema and mentioned obviously Kante might be going
to Al-Ittihad as well.
But the Saudi salaries are insane. Like they're making Premier League salaries look insane. And they're also completely tax-free out there as well. So it's like in Premier League football, the money's at least some of that insane money is going back into the country through taxes. But yeah, like Benzema, the money he's on is like ludicrous considering he's just going to probably phone it in out there.
I mean, good. I feel like, hey man, if they got it, take it, you know, like, and it's the only way to get players to, of that caliber to come there, You know what I mean? Just like, you know, what Apple had to do to include an MLS and Adidas to get Messi there. But I mean,
for them, it's not even a profit thing, right? It's more of the image of the country, the league. That's their driving factor. So, it seems to.
Yeah, the thing is, they've got to sign old players. They've got to sign Benzema. They've got to sign Ronaldo, because once those players are on that money, all they can do is retire. You can't go somewhere else after that, because like you need to go there to finish your career. You can't get paid £172 million a season and then go, oh, actually, I'm going to go back to France or somewhere. It's like, that's not happening.
Right. I mean, I think it's good for those guys. I want them to have money when they retire. And this is the chance to, like, if they've made financial mistakes earlier on, this is like, you make more money in these 3 years. Benzema is going to make more money than he probably made playing for, like, Real Madrid, which is a top-level team. So he's going to make this money in 3 years more than he made in 10 or 14 with Real Madrid. And he's older now. And he ended his season, you know, like the last few seasons, he's proven that he still got it. So he earned this check over the last year. He's a Ballon d'Or winner. So good for him. And yeah, like I said, like, this league is trying to grow its profile. So it's a trade-off.
Yeah, also their salaries need to be definitely higher than MLS, because there's also a lifestyle difference, right? Like, it's a far more lucrative option to go play in, like, in terms of, you know, the lifestyle and the kind of conditions your family is going to be in, to be in Miami than be in Saudi. So it really needs to be stupid, silly money for these guys to consider it. And I think they've locked into it. And you've also seen earlier this week, it's not just soccer, right? The Saudis are looking at it as every sport.
Oh yeah, I was going to ask
the whole golf thing,
yeah.
Because I have a feeling you'd know stuff about the golf thing, right? Like, I heard about it.
Yeah. So basically, what happened was they essentially created this breakaway league, they started same as they start throwing a whole bunch of money at a lot of these top guys. They went to absolutely the top, like the Roy McIlroy and essentially the entire top 30, but not everybody joined. Obviously, the PGA threatened to essentially make their careers and end their careers and, you know, make their records null and void. But what has happened now is, so some people still took the money. Actually, in fact, know someone who is a friend of mine growing up. He was one of the few Indians who made it to the top 50 of the PGA Tour. But he's now in his late 30s now, right? So he's at a time when, you know, you kind of start looking at where you can start making money.
So he took the Benzema deal.
Yeah, he took the deal. And a lot of these guys got a lot of scorn, and the community, you know, they ostracized them. But now the league, the PGA Tour, which was slandering all these players for taking the money, now suddenly when they were offered the same money, quickly, you know, shook their hands, and now they have a merger. So now all those people who didn't take the money, they look stupid. All those players who stood up for integrity and, you know, we want to play it right. We don't want to get involved in sports washing. They look really stupid now. So, yeah. And this is coming. We've already seen this in Formula One. It's in golf now. I think there's something similar happening in tennis. I've heard rumors of this coming in the next few years in cricket. So, yeah, we're going to see a whole bunch of Saudi sport.
Damn, we got to find a game and get good at it so that when, right? Anybody play pickleball here? Can we get a...
I was going to say pickleball.
Is it tough to get to the top of the pickleball league so that when the Saudis come with the money, we could like name our Benzema price? Anybody?
Can we not sell this podcast to the Saudis and we end up just talking about Newcastle?
we only cover the Saudi league.
Yeah, we talk about the Saudi league, then we talk about Newcastle. That's it.
I get an accent. What's the Newcastle accent? I'll take some Newcastle sounding accent classes. Yeah.
I don't even think that's far-fetched. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the next season you see a whole bunch of, football YouTubers start covering these games, because at some point you have all these players, but, you know, it's the whole thing. Like, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it, has the tree really fallen? So they will need to get the word out. They will need to create a buzz online to, you know, get those TV deals going. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these YouTubers are approached.
It's starting in a way, though, like with some of the things, because I've seen kids walking around in Ronaldo shirts since he went out there. Like, his team, I've seen them walking around in his team shirts, and I saw Al Nassr shirts being sold in Barcelona, of all places, as well, when I was there.
That's interesting.
So, like, it's starting, and that's obviously what they're doing by signing those names. Obviously, like I say, it's a visibility move as much as it is a sporting one, as well. And that's the whole point of sports washing, I guess. You just sort of gain credibility by seeping it into people's consciousness and people's lives. And like I say, I even when I was at Liverpool Airport the other day to fly to Dublin in Ireland, there was a kid with his parents in a Ronaldo shirt.
Yeah. I was going to ask a question, but I forgot now. But if anybody wants to say their last words, Martin, you were the guy that came on at the first episode of the season talking about Spurs is going to win the league. How do you feel about the prediction now? Just to bring that up and throw it in your face.
It will happen one day.
I guess that's the best answer you could give about that. I actually understand a little bit more why you felt that then, but
But I also said that Chelsea will finish top four, so all my predictions were wrong.
Yeah, nobody thought what happened to Chelsea was, nobody knew Chelsea was going to be destroyed from within. You know what I mean? And United, like I was telling Neil, like, we're a joke, but we're not being outed about the joke we are right now. Yeah.
But I've heard there's some tensions. There's some tensions at United, though. Ten Hag's not happy because he can't get the business done quickly because of everything going on above him.
Yeah. It's a joke, bro. It's a real joke over there. It's like it's the joke nobody's, like, really talking about because people think, like, laughing at Chelsea or Spurs or just whatever else is going on. But this is... we've been on sale for so long. People keep on putting in their 10th last bid. And, you know, the Glazers haven't decided. I think today was like a deadline because the Sheik made his final last bid a day ago. So, and I think he had to do that because he wants, from what I hear, to get the deal done so he can know what to do in the summer window. And which is rapidly approaching, and he doesn't want to do it if it's not made right away. So, and then Ineos is like doing anything they can do, it seems, to placate the Glazers. So they'll keep the Glazers on board, which will also keep our debt there and the word about how the club is going to be run if this Ineos who acquiesced to the Glazers. And you're supposed to be doing this for the fans, and it just seems like Ineos has like turned their coat inside out and show us who they really are. So we're not a big fan of them either. So it's terrible, to be honest, where we're at. It's pretty terrible. So, hey man, you know. So we can end the the pod on that terrible note. You know, like I think all four of our clubs are going through some horrendous shit right now. Spurs might actually be the luckiest club. You know, out of all four of us.
We'll see.
Well, thank you all for joining. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for watching. We love you. Be good. We'll probably do one more podcast and then take a break until closer towards like the end of the transfer window. So we're going to cover the Champions League final this Sunday after it happens on Saturday. So we'll do that. But thank you all for joining. Martin, Neil, and Lee, and me. Peace out, y'all. One.